In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The basis for our thoughts this morning are based upon the gospel reading. Please be seated. As I read this text again and listened to it again, I could not help but be struck by the starkness and the stringent nature of Jesus' call to discipleship. I don't know why. Perhaps it is because I have become so accustomed to the way in which we enlist people for service, even within the church. More likely than not, it will go something like this. Boy, have I got an opportunity for you. Or perhaps, you know, you really have so many gifts in this area, I think you would really be good at, fill in the blank, teaching, serving, on a committee, whatever it might be. Moreover, perhaps I find this text somewhat striking, or I'm taken aback by it, because I like to be reasonable. If someone cannot make a commitment of 12 weeks, how about 6 weeks? If someone can't make it tonight, how about next week? But perhaps I'm also taken aback by this text because I have come to associate such unconditional calls for commitment with drill sergeants, tyrannical employers, or domineering coaches. Jesus' invitation, I don't know, would most people call it that? Though is simple and straightforward, it is absolute. The first saying shows that Jesus does not seek a flippant, frivolous, or casual commitment. Instead, his followers must live under the same conditions that he did. They must be prepared for rejection by others. And here the focus of having no place to lay your head perhaps has less to do with the loss of creaturely comfort and more to do with the rejection of others. In this case, rejection by the Samaritans. The next two sayings deal with what to all appearances would appear to be legitimate requests for temporary delay. It is hard to conceive of these requests being denied today. The first man wanted to bury his father. The other wanted to bid his parents farewell. In the first instance of burying one's father, this was a solemn filial duty among the Jews. Only in rare cases could one be absolved from this duty. Usually had to be a high priest or something. And yet Jesus' call for allegiance transcends even the greatest of filial obligations. The third man's request was similar to that of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. But where Elijah granted the young man's request, Jesus did not. Both requests were denied. Discipleship involved the sacrifice of comfort and security, family ties, and family affection. But Jesus' call to discipleship, as stringent as it appears, cannot be considered in the abstract or in isolation from the entire biblical witness. Perhaps what takes one aback in looking at this text is the humanity of Jesus. After all, what kind of a man demands such uncompromising loyalty and obedience? Dictators? Tyrants? Most people would argue that no human being deserves such a following. But we need to remember that the one who issues this unconditional call to follow him is the very one who himself undertook such an unconditional commitment, in that case, to our salvation and well-being. This is apparent both at the beginning and the end of our text. At the beginning of our text, in verse 51, arguably the turning point in the entire Gospel of Luke, verse 51 looks to the culmination of Christ's life, his ascension. As such, it embraces his conception, his birth, his ministry, his death, his burial and resurrection. Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. He resolutely determines to initiate the precipitating events that would occur there. His destination and destiny are to be reached in spite of opposition, hostility, and distractions along the journey. He is determined to go to the cross, fully aware of what that would involve. There was no... Let me finish this project before I go to Jerusalem. There was no... Well, what about next week? Instead, we see one totally committed to our welfare and our salvation. And at the end of our text, Jesus makes the remark that no one who follows looks back. The imagery perhaps comes from 1 Kings 19 and refers to gazing back on the things that one abandoned in order to follow Jesus. It certainly applies to Jesus himself. If one thinks of Philippians 2, he did not consider equality with God something to boast about. He did not look back upon the glory, the life, and the bliss that he had enjoyed with the Father. In a hidden manner, who is this that issues the call? It is no human being who issues the call for an unconditional commitment. No mere human being, but the Lord of life and death. We might also ask, though, why such an unconditional commitment is required and issued by Christ. Well, to begin with, it is not for his sake. It is not to satisfy the unreasonable demands of an egomaniacal person who is filled with delusions of grandeur and self-importance. Instead, I think in his own way, Jesus' call to discipleship echoes Yahweh's own command to cling to him alone as our God back in the first commandment. If we take our cue from the first commandment, we might conclude that Christ's call for unconditional commitment of discipleship is good for us. If all reality can be divided between God and creation, the call to cling to the Creator and not to creation is to find our life in the only one who creates, gives, and preserves life. Conversely, the summons to avoid all distractions can only save us from numerous dead ends and disappointments if we seek in creation what it cannot provide. Similarly, in the case of Jesus, the call for undivided loyalty in the end is a call to seek salvation in Christ and in no one else, because it cannot be found in anyone else. And hence the call to discipleship is a call to come and die. But it is also a call to come and live. It is a call to be baptized. It is a call to live out that baptismal life in dying and rising. For the one who calls for such an unconditional commitment is himself unconditionally committed to you and to me. This applied not only to Jesus' determination to go to Jerusalem. It did not stop with his ascension. He continues to give himself to us today. He continues to commit himself to us today, particularly with his body and blood. He calls for such discipleship because only he can provide what we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.